She turned to her father and Calvin. You know it's the only thing to do. You know they'd never send me alone if... How do we know they're not in league with it? Mr. Murray demanded. Father! No, Meg, Mrs. Watson said. I do not blame your father for being angry and suspicious and frightened. And I cannot pretend that we're doing anything but sending you into the gravest kind of danger. I have to acknowledge quite openly that it may be a fatal danger. I know this, but I do not believe it. And the happy medium doesn't believe it either.
Can't she see what's going to happen? Calvin asked.
Oh, not in this kind of thing. Mrs. Watson sounded surprised at his question. If we knew ahead of time what was going to happen, we'd be like the people on Kamazot, with no lives of our own, with everything all planned and done for us. How can I explain it to you? Oh, I know. In your language, you have a form of poetry called the sonnet. Yes, yes, Calvin said impatiently. What's that got to do with the happy medium? Kindly pay me the courtesy of listening to me. Mrs. Watson's voice was stern, and for a moment Calvin stopped pawing the ground like a nervous colt. It is a very strict form of poetry, is it not?
Yes.
There are 14 lines, I believe, all in iambic pentameter. That's a very strict rhythm or meter, yes?
Yes, Calvin nodded.
And each line has to end with a rigid rhyme pattern. And if the poet does not do it exactly this way, it is not a sonnet, is it?
No.
But within this strict form, the poet has complete freedom to say whatever he wants, doesn't he?
Yes, Calvin nodded again.
So, Mrs. Watson said.
So what?
Oh, do not be stupid, boy, Mrs. Watson scolded. You know perfectly well what I'm driving at.
You mean you're comparing our lives to a sonnet? A strict form, but freedom within it?
Yes, Mrs. Watson said. You're given the form, but you have to write the sonnet yourself. What you say is completely up to you.
Please, Meg said, please. If I've got to go, I want to go and get it over with.
Each minute you put it off makes it harder.
She is right,
boomed Mrs. Witch's voice.
It is time.
You may say goodbye. Mrs. Watson was giving her not permission, but a command. Meg curtsied clumsily to the beasts.
Thank you all, very much. I know you saved my life.
She did not add what she could not help thinking.
Saved it for what?
So that it could get me? She put her arms about Aunt Beast, pressed up against the soft, fragrant fur.
Thank you, she whispered. I love you.
And I you, little one. Aunt Beast pressed gentle tendrils against Meg's face.
Cal, Meg said, holding out her hand.
Calvin came to her and took her hand, then drew her roughly to him and kissed her. He didn't say anything, and he turned away before he had a chance to see the surprised happiness that brightened Meg's eyes. At last she turned to her father.
I'm sorry, father.
He took both her hands in his, bent down to her with his short-sighted eyes.
Sorry for what, Megatron?
Tears almost came to her eyes at the gentle use of the old nickname. I wanted you to do it all for me. I wanted everything to be all easy and simple. So I tried to pretend that it was all your fault, because I was scared and I didn't want to have to do anything myself.
But I wanted to do it for you, Mr. Murray said. That's what every parent wants.
He looked into her dark, frightened eyes. I won't let you go, Meg. I am going.
No!
Mrs. Watson's voice was sterner than Meg had ever heard it. You are going to allow Meg the privilege of accepting this danger. You are a wise man, Mr. Murray. You are going to let her go.
Mr. Murray sighed.
He drew Meg close to him.
Little Megaparsec, don't be afraid to be afraid. We will try to have courage for you. That is all we can do.
Your mother... Mother was always shoving me out in the world, Meg said. She'd want me to do this. You know she would.
Tell her, she started, choked, then held up her head and said, No, never mind. I'll tell her myself.
Good girl. Of course you will.